podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 23rd, 2022. I am your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah, doing pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, last week's guest, Jerome, couldn't be here tonight because he's on nights, but he did pass his humble regards and his slight disappointment at Crystal Palace, not getting to the FA Cup final. So, I mean, it was a weekend for all losers when it comes to going to games. I went to Hibs Hearts, seen us lose. Jerome went to Crystal Palace, Chelsea, seen them lose. And then,
Dundee United did not have a game because
which
we
is the best way not to lose.
we had already lost in that cup, and therefore didn't have a Scottish Cup game at the weekend. So there was plenty of football on, and as usual, we shall recap the results from last week's show, which got off to a very good start with my banker on Friday evening in the Danish Superliga, where I took Nordjylland home winner draw against Sønderjyske at odds of 2-7. Just there was no way Nordjylland were going to lose that game. They won it 2-0, and it was really, really comfortable. So, you know, around the even money price for just the straight-up win, probably. You know, I did say at the time, I fully expect them to win the game, but for banker purposes, I'd take the safety net of the draw as well, because there was just no way they were ever losing. So a nice start to the weekend.
With 2-7 banker winners rolls on. At Dortmund Wolfsburg over 0.5 first half goals squeaked in. Dortmund were only up 5-0 at half time.
They just all the time. There's always a goal in the first half of those games. Every time.
They're playing Bayern this weekend, and I'm not taking them, and it's just the only game that they seem to get shelled in.
What's wrong with that? You don't care who scores.
Yeah, I don't. But like, did Dortmund change how they play if they know they consistently get beat like 4 or 5 nil when you're playing against Bayern? Do you try and shore up till half time and do that? I just don't think. It probably will be fucking 3-2 at half time now. But you know, it's just one of those games where I'd rather Dortmund were on top. That's when I pick them for these, when Dortmund are the favourite. So, but 5-0, and then that led us on to Jerome's pick. Man United Norwich. Man United really tried to fuck this. Norwich, Man United went up 2-0. Norwich brought it back to 2 each, and then they needed big Ronaldo to sort them out for a 3-2 win.
Great free kick.
Yeah.
Great free kick he scored to make it 3-2, and it was a hat trick for him as well. So he basically did everything himself that game.
Do you know he now has just as many hat tricks before 30 than he does after? Ronaldo fact right there.
There we go. But Man United doing their best to really merit Bet365's early payout offer.
Yeah.
Jesus, that is not a game I thought you would need to use that on. But it did come in very handy. Took the sweat away when Norwich pulled it back to 2-2. But the banker treble came in across the board. 3 out of 3 again. At odds of 0.99-1. So it was pretty much even money. We have just been consistently hitting banker trebles, which is very, very good. On to the value picks. My value pick lost. It was Kashima versus Nagoya, and I was surprised we're getting pretty much even money on Kashima at home here. Very tight game. They lost. The bet lost, but it was a 0-0 draw. So not much in it. Backing Kashima at home this season will be very profitable in the long run. So I'm not too devastated with that. If you get them at even money, pretty much against anyone that's not the Yokohama F. Marinos or Kawasaki Frontale, if you can get any of the other teams like even money, Kashima win, I'd be taking it. So it didn't come in this time, but it was close.
I had Sporting versus Benfica in here. This was the last game of the weekend and actually the only blot in this week's copybook for me. Benfica won this game 2-0. Darwin Nunez was... I've seen him now play, I think, 4 or 5 times this season. Fucking hell, he's good. Now, he's got a proper kind of like mid-2000s striker about him, which I kind of, like, he just, it's Maisie runs into the box and goals rather than like poaching or anything.
Sensible soccer goals on the Atari.
Exactly. So but Benfica won it 2-0. They actually scored late to make it 2-0. So it was 1-0 until 90 plus 2 or something. So Sporting did go at it. But yeah, not a value winner for me this week. And that continued the story into Mansfield versus Sutton for Jerome Els. The J-man couldn't quite get a value in this week with Sutton beating Mansfield 3-2. Mansfield were never really in this game. They were 2-0 down, brought it back to 2-1 with their own goal. They then went to 3-1 down a minute later and they clawed a goal back 90 plus 7. So, not a great set of values for all of us, no, but it does improve later on.
There is no value in any of the value picks this week with three losers. However, once again, another good week for the outsiders. And my outsider was in Japan, Avispa Fukuoka versus Cerezo Osaka. I was sure there was not going to be much in this game. And as predicted, it finished a draw at the beautiful odds of 12-5. And there was no surprise that it finished a 0-0 draw either. Just one of those games with absolutely no notifications. That's Fukuoka drawn three of their last five home games 0-0. It's just what they do. They just make it difficult to score. And in doing so, they don't create much themselves. And Osaka weren't able to break them down. So 12-5 for the draw was a great price.
I look forward to them finishing with 32 points exactly at the end of the season.
It just sailed in. They're going to keep every game tight, and it doesn't matter who they're playing. Bizarrely, they play the same way. They'll play the same way against someone mid-table as in they will top of the table. They'll just try and limit opportunities and chances. We'll see. We'll see if they do end up with how many 32 points. Yeah, figure a few losses in there. It'll be a 34 game season in the 18 team league.
So for my outsider, I got mine in as well. This is Antalyaspor away at Alanyaspor. Again, a very confusing game to try and describe to people who are not quite as familiar with Turkey. 94, my away team won. They won this 3-1. They were 2-0 up. Turkey's not one of those leagues you get an early payout in, which I didn't really have much fear in because they were 2-0 up before half-time. They then made it 3-0, which, and even when I got a notification to say they pulled one back with 10 minutes to go, conceding that, unlikely to be conceding in there. So a 94 outsider for me and a 12-5 outsider for you, which means that the Trixie was running well until Chelsea versus Crystal Palace. So Chelsea Palace was Jerome's pick. Chelsea won this game 2-0. Palace kept it tight and they did have their chances. I watched most of this game. It was about 70 minutes until the first goal went in. When it did, though, they kind of fell out of the game a bit. A 5-1 outsider losing 2-0. Not terrible in there. Admittedly, it was a pick that came from the heart and not so much the head. So that was that in there. And that led us on to the charity.
Yeah, good for the outsider. Trixie, though, I always back it as a Trixie. So getting 2 out of the 3 returns profit off of every Trixie, it returned £52.50 or something like that, £52.25, something around that. And we've been hitting 2 out of 3 with regularity. So let's keep the outsiders rolling. On to the charity bets. I was one of the people that let the charity pick down this week. Hallisher versus Havelse, the home win for Hallisher was 7-10. It ended a wild draw. Hallisher did take the lead. They just couldn't push on and get that second goal. And they got pegged back. And the game sort of petered out. Both goals were in the first half. Nothing happened in the second half. So a charity loss for me.
I'm fucking drawing against Havelse. That's,
I know. Not good.
Bad. Not so for me. This was Arbroath versus Queen of the South. Didn't start particularly well when Queen of the South went up 1-0. Arbroath clawed their way back to a 5-1 win. Actually got Arbroath 11-5 at one point in here because of I backed them and Mick Bookie were given something who've previously been on the they were on our World Cup podcast prior to that, or the Euros podcast, and we're talking about who's going to get selected. So I've got an account with them, and McBookie gave us a free bet. I tried to turn it into something fun. I was let down by a Liverpool not getting four corners. I also killed that bet. But yeah, so I mean, good result in there. Our both beating Queen of the South 5-1. And then last leg of the charity was Jerome's Huddersfield versus QPR. 2-2. QPR are shite as well. We talked about how bad they were. And I mean, Huddersfield rather
took the lead twice.
Yeah, rather frustratingly took the lead twice. But they also, there was another game they played. Was it because of it was Easter weekend? You play a game on the Friday and Monday.
Friday, Monday.
Middlesbrough 2-0 yeah. away. It's just like they clearly play a type of football that, you know, if you're willing to attack them, they'll get you on the counter. But QPR would just have sat in and, you know, couldn't be arsed with it, but that's fine. Charity didn't come in this week. I believe it goes to the garçon to my either left or right, depending on how you're looking at this recording. So Andy, I look forward to you putting on the charity bet this week, and I once again hope that it comes in.
So do I. I look forward to placing the charity bet this week and giving some sweet money to charity at the end of the day.
Good.
We're about to head to an ad break, after which we will go on to the picks for this week and welcome our guest for this week. But before that, just a reminder, we do have a Patreon channel, www.patreon.com/trampledbet, or download the Patreon app and search for Trampled Bet Podcast. You can sign up to join the Trampled Bet Club. It's £6 a month. It really helps us out, guys, with the running costs of this podcast, hosting costs, etc. And you get a whole load of stuff in return. You get the cheat sheet of all the picks written down, so you don't have to take notes or try and remember the picks. You can glance at that and see which ones you agree with for your weekend coupons. You get this podcast as an early release, so we're recording on Tuesday evening, and you will get that as a video podcast on Tuesday evening through the Patreon app. That will also include the middle section, so while everyone else sees a break, you will see us shooting the breeze about last week's middle section picks, things that we like for the weekend ahead that didn't make the main show, and just general gambling chat in the middle of the podcast. You also get extra content as well when there's big sporting events coming up. We've had the Masters and Grand National and a few other things recently. We had the Cheltenham Festival as well. So
you've got to plug your middle section though, like for last week, because I mean, the middle section, was that not what you talked about? Superstar Irish golfer Shane Lowry.
It was. I really fancied him to win the RC Heritage, and with five holes to go, he had a two-shot lead. He made double bogey on a par three by chipping the ball after his tee shot. He chipped it into a lake. It's one of the most ridiculous shots you'll see from a pro golfer, especially when they're coasting to victory. He then made an arse of the next hole, four right off the tee, four right with his second shot. Couldn't get up and down, another five, so he went 5-5. Birdie putt missed on 16. Birdie putt missed on 17. Dropped his ball in a bunker on the 18th and came tied third again. So a good each way payout at 25-1. But watching the final round, he really should have won it at 25-1. So, but I'm happy with the pick. Obviously, you know, it's a pick that made profit. Placed.
Yeah.
And it made profit, and he should have won. But it was it was disappointing.
So. Yeah, especially at 25. But yeah, it's a good pick in there, and another reason to be part of the Patreon in there and get to hear this next middle section that I believe we will be heading into after this message.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for Saturday, April 23rd, 2022. But before we dive into that, let's welcome this week's guest, all the way from the United States of America, Mr. Joey Slenzak. How are you, Joey?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Very, very well, thanks. Good to see you again.
Birthday boy this week as well. Absolutely. I did mention that in the midsection. That's not privileged information, but you know, that's a 4 out of 4 coming. Feel it in my bones.
I feel like if there is a week for me to do it, this would probably be it. Or at least I would hope.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll be diving into these picks and the reasoning behind them, and we'll see if our listenership agrees with what we've got for the week coming up. And that starts, as usual, with the banker bets. So something we think is pretty much nailed on to happen. We have been very good at getting a clean sweep of bankers throughout the podcast this season. We've returned the banker treble way more often than not. So let's do it again this week. My banker is Saturday at 2:30 p.m. in the German top flight, the Bundesliga, and visiting an old friend, Greuther Fürth versus Leverkusen, and taking the away win for Leverkusen at pretty big banker odds of 2-5. So there are six games left in the Bundesliga, and Leverkusen currently occupy fourth spot in the league. That is the final Champions League spot, so they will be desperate to finish in that top four. And they only have a one-point advantage over Freiburg in fifth. So they need as many points as they can get in the six-game run-in. And this is a great spot to ensure you get 3 points away at a bad Greuther Fürth team. Fürth are dead last in the table. They've only managed 17 points from 30 games all season. Form-wise, Leverkusen, mediocre, 7 points from the last five matches, but Fürth have only managed three. And what's more concerning is they've only scored one goal in their last five games, yet conceded eight. So this is just a great chance for Leverkusen to get three very valuable points, and I'm pretty certain they're going to take it. Also adding into this is the fact that Leverkusen beat Fürth 7-1 the last time the sides met. So that bodes well for an away win here.
That's good. And if you like Andy's pick, you'll like mine more, because it's everything Andy's pick, but slightly better. So I'll start you off with 6-11 is the price, right? It's also at 2:30 in Germany. This is Cologne versus Bielefeld. So Cologne are doing pretty damn good. They're in seventh place, 1 point behind the Europa Conference League slot and 5 points behind the automatic European slot in 51 position, which means they're 6 points behind Leverkusen in there. So there's four games to go for Cologne in here, and you know they're still in a chance here of getting any of them. You know there's a chance in there. You know you expect Leverkusen to be a sorry Fürth side this weekend, but Bielefeld are worse than Fürth at the moment. They've taken 1 point from their last five games, scored one, conceded 13. Cologne have been very good, taking 10 points from the last five games. Beating Borussia Mönchengladbach away 3-1, beating Mainz 3-2, and getting a one-each draw with Dortmund, and beating Leverkusen away from home as well. So they're in good shape at the moment. They are fifth in the form table. I just think they're going to have far too much for a rather sorry Bielefeld team. 6-11 or 1-2. So, you know, shop around.
I liked it. I do like it. I would argue. I don't know if it is all the things of mine, but better, considering Leverkusen are higher in the table and Fürth are lower.
Bielefeld than
your two sides, but okay, they're much of a muchness.
They are much of a muchness, but yeah, Bielefeld have been worse form wise of recent, and
they should both come in.
And Cologne beat Leverkusen.
They did.
What's going on? But yeah, I think both. You know. If Cologne were playing Fürth and Leverkusen were playing Bielefeld, I'd just as be happy with this.
Absolutely.
So there was
an interesting thing earlier in the season, though. I definitely remember having a good argument with you about don't back Cologne. Cologne are not as good as you think they are. Maybe now they have got as good as you think they are, or you thought they were at the beginning. Maybe you saw the untapped potential at the beginning of the season and it's come to fruition. When you were back in them earlier, they were not good.
I mean, the one thing I will say about Bielefeld, which goes for me on this, is that they haven't scored a goal in the last five away games.
Oh, no, I love the pick. I love that. No. What I'm saying is I think the Cologne that you saw at the beginning of the season, we might all finally be seeing now.
Finally, I have reached peak Cologne. Is that what you're saying?
We've got there. Yeah, you saw it when everyone else doubted them. You saw it.
That's good. Much like the Marlins. So, Joey, what have you got to take into the banker area for us?
Yeah, so for my banker, I'm going to follow Gordon in the markets. And I'm looking at Mechelen versus Charleroi in Belgium. And I like 0.5, over 0.5 first half goals. any first half goal, you can get that at 1-3. So Mechelen finished the regular season in seventh place, scoring 57 goals and conceding 61, while Charleroi finished 2 points ahead of Mechelen in sixth place, scoring 55, conceding 46. The five-game form table before the season ended, because this is the first game of the, once the league kind of split, but I'll touch on that a little bit later. Five-game form table at the end of the season saw Mechelen scoring 7 goals, conceding 8 for 6 points, and Charleroi scoring 10, conceding 6 for 8 points. So why I like first half goals here is because Mechelen have seen a first half goal in 12 straight league matches and 10 of their last 11 at home in all competitions. And Charleroi have also seen a first half goal in 10 of their last 11 matches overall and 16 of 17 away matches. There was technically a 0-3 win awarded on Flash Score. It says it was awarded against Standard Liège. So I'm not sure how you technically count that, but there was a first half goal in there. So
are you saying that by average, 17? there should be a first half goal in that 0-3.
So between these two sides. And so to start this conference group sort of break split, Charleroi sit 4 points behind Ghent. And Mechelen are 5 points behind Ghent. So I'd imagine both sides are going to come out hot, trying to get off to a good start to kind of make up some ground to get into that one promotion spot to the conference league.
Yeah, I mean, I have one question for you in here. And it doesn't affect your pick, but Nico Storm, fancy the big man to get a goal in this game?
Because I don't see why not.
Because he's of recent has been pretty damn good. But yeah, Kuipers, the other guy. Kuipers. Yeah,
Kuipers. That was the guy I was thinking of.
I looked at this pick and I was like, how the fuck is he going 1-3 for this? It's like I was getting worse odds for Dortmund, exactly. But like this is more history to it. So a superb pick in there, Joey.
Good odds, and it boosted slightly. We've all gone pretty adventurous on the banker picks and the banker treble. Rounds out at 1.82 to 1. So you're closer.
3 on last
you're,
on last.
You're closer to 2-1 than you are to 6-4. So that's totally pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty adventurous. And with the way we've been hitting banker trebles, this would be a nice payout should it come in. On to the value picks. Never take the early kickoff. So I'm. Well, it's not, you know, Joey's been learning that from Dave Greenfield. He tells him every
week. I learned that one the hard way. Yeah.
Never take the early
kickoff. We've all been there.
But it doesn't count when you're in, you know, leagues around the world. So this is Friday afternoon, early evening in the German Bundesliga Zwei, so the second tier of German football for Karlsruhe versus Ingolstadt. And the home win for Karlsruhe here is 6-7 just now at Bet365. So just under even money. Again, as I said, for the banker, there are 6 games left in the season in Germany, and that applies also to the Bundesliga Zwei. Ingolstadt are dead last, and they're 16 points behind safety. I'm prepared to say that they are definitely down, and this a bad result here for them would seal it mathematically. Karlsruhe are 10th, they're on 39 points. That's 10 ahead of the relegation playoff place and 14 behind the promotion playoff place. So they are mid-table. They have nothing to worry about. They have, but they're not going to do anything exciting either. Ingolstadt, unsurprisingly, the worst away from home performers in the league. They've only got 9 points away from home from 15 away games this season. And when the teams last played this fixture at Karlsruhe's ground last season, Karlsruhe ran out comfortable 4-0 winners. So I expect it to be a reasonably comfortable afternoon for Karlsruhe, who can just make certain of a mid-table finish and not get involved in anything nasty with the 5 games left to go. So home win for Karlsruhe against Ingolstadt at odds of 6-7.
Nice. I'm in Turkey for my game. And this is on Sunday, only game that's on Sunday for me. This is Antalyaspor, last week's outsider sweethearts, take on Kayserispor. Antalyaspor are on some tear. They won their last 6 on the spin, beating some pretty good opposition in here. Kayserispor, they've out of their last 5 games, they've won 2, lost 3. But they're at that point in the season where They're on 42 points and the first relegation place is on 30. There is four or five games to go in this league. They're pretty, you know, this might not be the game where they pick it up, but they're close to being mathematically out of that game. Alte, Rizespor and Gustepi are all fighting for getting out of there. But, you know, it's Giresunyaspor on 40 points. They're 10 behind rather than 12 with the rest. Antalyaspor can still do some damage in this league. The last Europa League slot in here is only 4 points out of their grasp, but there's four teams in their way there. Başakşehir are on 54. Adana Demirspor, which is Balotelli's team, are on 52. Alanyaspor, 52. Besiktas on 51, and them on 50. Really tight in that spot there, and they'll be fancying themselves against Kayserispor in this slot. You know, Antalyaspor have been fantastic at home. They haven't lost at home since the 24th of October last year. You know, and that was a 2-1 loss to Başakşehir. There's been wins and draws in there, but they've won the last four at home on the spin. I think they'll have enough to get past them, Kayserispor, and you'll get them at 4-5 at 365 in Hills, which I think is a pretty good price for that value pick in there. So I know Joey likes it because he messaged me that earlier on.
I love it. Oh, I absolutely love that one.
So what are you taking us for value time?
Yeah, so for my value pick, I'm kind of in uncharted territory. So I'm going to kind of bring it back to something a little more familiar, and we'll bring back Zoom call karaoke just for one pick. But I think the best way to describe this one would be, I talked about it with that Freiburg pick. It's Gimme, 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 A Goal After Halftime by Aka. And those who don't know it, goes a little something like, gimme, gimme, gimme a goal after halftime. Won't somebody help me win some money today? My pick is Werder Bremen versus Schalke in the Dritte Liga. I think it was two Dritte. Yeah.
Dritte is three. Yeah.
Oh, the Zwei? Bundesliga Zwei.
Bundesliga Zwei, yeah.
And I like over 1.5 second half goals.
Gimme two goals after halftime.
Preferably goals more after than two, half-time. But yeah.
It's not goal, it's goals after halftime. So that's fine.
Plural. It was implied, Andy, but yes, to clarify, yes. We've got first place Schalke hosting second place Werder Bremen. And these sides are only separated by 2 points, with Schalke scoring 64, conceding 36, and Bremen scoring 54, conceding 39. Five-game form table seems a massive push for Schalke, picking up 5 straight wins, scoring 15 goals, conceding 4, while Bremen have only managed 6 points, scoring and conceding 5 goals. These sides, interestingly, used to only be 3 points separated in the 10-game form table, but Bremen have kind of been slipping up a little bit lately, only picking up 6 of those 19 points in their last 5 games. But what really caught my attention for this game was just the sheer amount of goals these sides score, specifically in the second half. Bremen have scored 41 of their 54 goals in the second half, and Schalke have scored 40 of their 64 goals in the second half. And to strengthen this, Schalke have scored 23 of 40 second half goals at home, and Bremen have scored 21 of 41 second half goals away from home. So they're already picking up most of their goals in this permutation. But Schalke have actually scored in the second half of 11 straight matches at home, with over 1.5 second half goals hitting in 12 of 15 home matches and 10 of their last 11 at home, which is what I already said. Bremen have also scored in the second half in 10 straight and 12 of their last 15 away matches, with over 1.5 in 9 of their last 10 away. Where this gets interesting is that both of these sides are averaging over 1.4 goals scored in these permutations. So Schalke at home and Bremen away from home in the second half. But they're also averaging 0.9 goals conceded during that stretch in those permutations. So if you want to get a little spicy, you can get over 1.5 second half goals at 1.8. And I think that's phenomenal value. Given that it's happened so frequently for both of these sides, especially Bremen away from home. But Bremen have also seen both teams to score in 15 in the second half of 15 of 30 matches this season, and 8 of their 15 away matches, 4 of their last 5 away. So I have a hard time not seeing Schalke getting on the board. And so if you kind of want to get a little spicy, I don't hate both teams to score second half. That's hanging around 2.75, so just shy of 2-1. Schalke have only seen it in 9 of their 30 matches this season, but in 6 of those 9 occurrences were at home versus away. So obviously it's a little bit more of a punt, but I think both sides are more than capable of finding the back of the net in the second half, and I wouldn't be surprised if both end up doing that. Schalke themselves have scored multiple goals in the second half recently as well, so I can see this coming in multiple ways.
I think that over 1.5 is the cherry I like in there. I think as Andy says, they don't need to go for both teams to score in the second half, but I can definitely see one team getting two. Like
that's, absolutely,
yeah. So like it, Joey, like it. What does it come out at then, Andy?
5.1 to 1. If you fancied that as a treble, so just over 5 to 1, pretty good. On to the outsider picks, where we have been doing very well recently. I am staying in Germany. I'm staying in the Bundesliga 2 for Saturday at 12:30 for Paderborn versus Hannover. So as with my previous two picks, we know there's 6 games left in the German seasons. Paderborn are 8th in the table. It's an 18 team league. 9 points behind the promotion places. So the race is pretty much done. Hanover are 14th and 7 points ahead of the relegation playoff spot. So it looks like they're going to be fine. But picking up any points they can in the run-in is going to be important. Now, despite the gap between the two teams here in terms of league position, bizarrely, Paderborn are really, really bad at home. They've taken 13 points at home this season from 15 home games.
The league's nearly done. That's incredibly bad.
They've gained 31 points away from home.
Are they playing at a thingy stadium or something?
Isn't that absolutely mental? 31 points away from home and 13 at home. So they've gained over twice as many points on the road. Hanover have a respectable 18 points from 15 away matches, which is all right for a team that's just above the relegation playoffs. The last 3 matches between the sides have all ended in draws, 0-0, 1-1 and 0-0. And the 2 games before were both 1-0 victories for Paderborn. So following that, this is going to be tight. And I like the big price of 12-5 on another draw between these teams, with Paderborn being bad at home and Hanover needing, a point will be good for them. They don't need to go all out for a win. So 12-5. For a draw between Paderborn and Hanover.
I mean, look at you in the draws these days. A man who
I'm hitting draws. Them though.
I know.
I'm hitting them. I'd like. Maybe I'm only going to back a draw if I really like it, and I really like it in this game. In 12-5, it doesn't need to come in very often for you to turn a decent profit. So, and I think that's the most likely outcome of the 3 scenarios in this game.
Okay. Well, I'm big fan of draws, so that's good, and I'll bring you one for my outsider. This is Montrose versus Queen's Park, and it's a game that comes with a wee bit of interest in that it's going to be the first game of the playoffs. Both teams have secured their position, so it is Montrose versus Queen's Park. It's 3rd versus 4th, 56 points versus 50. A draw here just looks likely. I don't think either team wants to have any cards away from their chest for what they're going to play in the playoffs. Neither team, Queen's Park could catch Montrose on 56 points if Montrose lost their last 2 games, but they'd still be playing Montrose first because that's how it works.
Different home advantage, though.
Different home advantage, yeah, but, Montrose have drawn 4 of the last 5 home games with Airdrie, East Fife, Clyde and Dumbarton in there. Queen's Park have drawn 2 of their last 5 away games, losing to Peterhead, losing to Airdrie, beating Dumbarton, drawing with East Fife, drawing with Cove. The last 2 meetings of these teams have been 1 each draws. I just think this game shades a draw. you know, I think it's a nice draw in here for me. And you get that at 9-4 or 11-5, depending on what bookie you're going with. Not really much more explaining in there to be given. I just think the game looks like a draw. Both teams are winding down. They know where they are in the league. You know, Falkirk can't catch Queen's Park. So, comfortable. Joey, outsider.
Yeah. So for my outsider, I'm taking it back to what you might call home for me in Turkey. And I like Fenerbahce. Pick up a win against the lowly Rizespor. But I don't think they'll do it without conceding. So I like the win plus both to score. And you can get that around 3.3-ish, just over 2-1. So Fenerbahce sit in second place, just 1 point ahead of Konyaspor for the final Champions League spot. And Rizespor sit firmly in the relegation spots in 18th, but 10 points away from safety. Five-game form table shows Fenerbahce picking up 5 wins in 5, scoring 15, conceding 3. While Rizespor have picked up 7 points, scoring 8 goals and conceding 9. So Fenerbahce are obviously the better side here, and they should win comfortably. To keep this pace, kind of try to keep Konyaspor off their heels, try and keep that Champions League spot locked up. But in this permutation, I actually have a hard time seeing a low-scoring affair. And I say this because while Fenerbahce may have kept three straight clean sheets in their last 5, and they've only conceded 3 goals in their last 5, 2 of those matches were both at home. On the other hand, they've conceded 5 more goals away from home than they have at home, and that's in 1 less game. So they're already averaging more goals away from home conceded than they are at home. Obviously, you want to have that home field advantage. So I definitely was not surprised that they were getting clean sheets at home. But Rizespor, on the other hand, have kind of liked playing at home. They really hate playing away from home. Andy, I know you were talking about that ridiculous split points picked up home and away. I think I'll do you one better. Rizespor, while they've scored 23 of their 33 goals at home, they have picked up 26 of 30 points at home. So they've only managed 4 points in 15 away matches, which is really, 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 really not good. But what they're doing lately is scoring. And Rizespor have seen both to score in 7 straight matches overall and 4 of their last 5 home matches, 3 of those also being losses. Fenerbahce have seen both to score in 9 of their last 10 away from home. And historically, Fenerbahce have won 6 straight. But when playing at Rizespor, they've seen both teams to score in 7 of the last 8 meetings. But they're also winning a lot of those games. So they've still seen 3 wins in their last 5 matches at Rizespor, all with wins plus both to score. So while I firmly believe that Fenerbahce should win this, and they should kind of keep pace with Trabzonspor up at the top and kind of keep Konyaspor off their heels, I think Rizespor have a decent shot here to kind of make it difficult for them. And I like the win plus both to score, especially at that price.
Yeah.
Old Bojan Palo fucks me over again here, Joey. He scored 3 penalties against us. It was the 3-2 game. Yeah. But yeah, I was a bit apprehensive about this pick when I looked at it, and I was like, they're not conceding, but they are conceding away from home, and historically they do. And yeah, Rizespor are scoring, so fine in there. Andy, do we have a price for that?
Well, I take it as a Trixie. So a fiver Trixie would return you £338.45 off your £20 stake. Should you get all 3 in? Obviously, if only 2 come in, you're looking at something slightly smaller than that, probably around the £50 mark for 2 out of 3, which isn't bad.
All right, Meatloaf.
Hey, there it is. On to the charity picks for this week, which I will be backing after Gordon got his correct last week and I let the charity down. A wee round of applause there from Gordon. So really, really keen to be getting back to winning ways in the charity treble, which is £10 of our own money, one selection from each of us, and we back the treble in all the returns, so stake and any profit go to a charity, which we will announce on next week's show should we get a winner. I am in the Danish Superliga, which is almost at an end. Saturday at 3 p.m. for FC Copenhagen versus Randers. We're in game week 28 now of a 32-game season. It's a 12-team league where you play each other home and away. So that takes you to 22 games. The league then splits, like the Scottish Premier League, into two groups of six. So this is the championship group, and then you play each other home and away again. And that takes your total up to 32 games. So we're in game week 28. And FC Copenhagen currently have a six-point lead at the top of the table over nearest rivals Midtjylland. Randers are the bottom-placed club in the championship group. So they're bottom of the top split, basically. Form-wise, FC Copenhagen taking 12 points in the last three matches, scoring six, conceding three. Randers not too bad, taking 7 points, scoring five times, but they've conceded eight. Unsurprisingly, FC Copenhagen, best home team in the league so far this season, with 28 points gained from their 13 home games. Randers have managed 18 points in the road from 13 away games this season. Again, it's not that unsurprising because they are in the top half after the divisions have split. The sides recently met on March 3rd. And Copenhagen ran out comfortable 3-0 home winners. I'd expect a similar sort of comfortable victory for FC Copenhagen here as they edge towards another Superliga title. The home win for FC Co is 4-7.
Excellent. I take you to far-flung climb for mine in the Ligue 2. This is Exeter versus Rochdale. I really fancy Exeter to win this game. They're second in the league just now. They're still chasing to actually win the league. They're only 5 points behind, four games to go, versus a Rochdale team that are just at the middle of the middle. You know, they are 15th here. You know, they're not getting relegated. They've got 13 points on the team that are currently in the playoff spot. There's also seven positions below them between that. I just think Exeter will win this game. They did lose their last game against Tranmere, but Tranmere have got the best home form in the league. Rochdale's away form is rubbish. They've lost their last five on the spin. They've only scored in one of those five, which was a 3-1 loss to Leighton Orient, but they've lost all the rest of them, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. So I think Exeter will win this game, and I think Exeter will win this game. I think I'll get my two-goal payout, to be honest. So the odds you're going to get on that, 3-6-5 or 2-3 or 7-11.
Or 6. Oh, 2-3 just sounds so wrong.
Yeah.
Joe, you won't be aware of this, right? With the fractional odds not being as big a thing out in the United States. But for some reason, you never say 2-3. Like, even though it's a simpler fraction, like, you say 4-6. I don't know why that is.
2-3, 4-6. Doesn't matter how you're doing it. But Exeter, at whatever price you choose, you know, whatever price you want to call it, that's what you're getting on them. So Exeter to beat Rochdale. So Joey, round us off then. What have you got in the charity pick for us?
Yeah, so I know I said Turkey is probably my spiritual home, we'll say, for the show. Now I'm going to bring it to my literal home, the U.S., and I'm in the MLS for Austin FC hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps. And I like both teams to score. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise. And you can get that at 1.8-ish. Austin sit second in the Western Conference on 14 points, scoring 17 and conceding 7. While Vancouver sit in 13th on 4 points, scoring 6 goals, conceding 14. Five-game form table sees Austin scoring 7 goals and conceding 6, while Vancouver have picked up 3 points, scoring 6 goals, conceding 10. Kind of a lot of this is based on how this is starting to unfold this season. And Austin have seen both teams to score in 4 of 7 matches and have conceded in 5 of their last 6, while Vancouver have seen both teams to score in 4 of their last 5. But that's after failing to score in their first two matches of the season, where they were held scoreless 0-0 and then lost 4-0 away from home in their first away match. But since then, they've managed to score in 5 straight matches, and versus Austin FC, who started the season out scoring 5 goals in back-to-back home games. So that's not 5 goals total. That's 5 goals in the first home game, 5 goals in the second home game. since then they've kind of cooled off a little bit more, more two goals and three goal games, one goal games, that kind of stuff. But they're also conceding a lot more. Looking at who they're conceding against and who they've kept those clean sheets against, one of those two clean sheets this season was against Cincinnati FC when the Cincinnati was away from home, where Cincinnati FC doesn't do anything away from home. So I'm going to take that one with a little pinch of salt. Picking up a clean sheet against Minnesota is definitely a good result, but Minnesota are kind of like the draw queens of the MLS, where they just love to draw games. So, Gordo, if you're looking for an MLS team to follow,
I'm looking for MLS. That's either
Minnesota or Nashville would be my recommendations. But in this spot, I kind of like the way these teams are trending, where Austin are kind of coming back down to earth a little bit. They're showing they are human. They're still pacing this league. They're still doing phenomenal. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they end up winning this game. They're priced at around 1-2, which personally, I think that's a little short. But I also don't follow the MLS quite as closely as others. So I'm not going to go looking at 1x2 markets or who's going to win any of this stuff. But I do like seeing goals. And I think this is a very good spot for it. Looking at the only two other matches these sides have played, because this is Austin's second season in the league. Last year, Vancouver won both games, home and away, 2-1. So already there, we're seeing both the score in both of those games. And kind of piggybacking on that, I wouldn't be surprised if Austin go on and win this. If you want to get a little greedier, you could tap on a second goal there, both to score in over 2.5. I'd imagine that's a little bit over even money, which you want to get a little spicier. But for the sake of the charity bet, I sure hope both teams score sooner rather than later, and this just sails in.
Look forward to it.
We hope so. That'll be the last leg as well. I think that takes place at 1:30 on Sunday morning, UK time.
It so is actually a Saturday game.
It should be. Yeah, but
for us, but though.
For us, Joey.
Time difference-wise.
1:30 in the morning.
See, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Get that set to UK time, son. That's none of this American time here.
I'm going to be showing up 5 hours late to work.
So hopefully Gordon and I's picks have already come in, and then we can get the goal alerts in the middle of the night. There's been
you'll just wake up to both teams to score and just goals galore.
I'll be watching baseball at that point, no doubt. I'll be able to follow it. Follow it in real time. Yeah, probably. That's certainly what I plan on doing when this podcast. I want to see how Alex Cobb's getting on for the San Francisco.
Dude, well, your dedication to those West Coast games it's impactful. Well.
I'd like to see this end because Liverpool or Man United has like 25 minutes to go, and I could maybe catch
some
of it.
Still
2-0? Yeah, it's still 2-0.
So. Okay. Hey, as long as we're not conceding more.
So the charity treble works out is 3.5-1, bang on. So that would be £45 for a charity. Should we get them all in? That's been the podcast this week. As usual, we'll end the show with just reminding folk we have a Facebook group, a couple of hundred people in that sharing their best picks and tips and what they think might happen sports betting wise for the weekend ahead. And it's not just football, it's a whole host of stuff, and it's a whole a very wide and diverse community we have with a lot of different expertise. So do join us on Facebook, just search Trample Bet Podcast and ask to join the group. And then if you wanted to support us as well and get all the extra content, reminder, we have our Patreon channel. So download the Patreon app on your phone, search Trample Bet Podcast or www.patreon.com/TramplebeT. And it's £6 a month and it really helps us out.
A little shout out to Callum Podger in there, who's a couple of winners in a row there at 2-1 for under and over corners, which is just a market that I'm bad at doing. I just assume there'll always be like 10 corners in whatever game I'm watching. But yeah, so a big shout out to Callum in there who had a couple of winners back to back. So yeah, good on him.
Awesome. That's been the show. Joey, thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I always love coming out and just talking.
Yeah, I know. You're very welcome. Have a wonderful birthday week. Gordon,
thank you so much too.
And we'll see you both this time next week. Happy hunting.
Absolutely.
Bye.
The Trample Bet Podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.